You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Our next speaker is Mariam Maxi, a senior research fellow, Institute of Citizenship Studies, University of Geneva, and she's going to talk about migrants and refugees in relation to SSC in European continent.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be here and to have the chance to talk about our work on the role of the SSC in supporting migrants or refugees in Europe. Let me start by explaining to you why we got interested in the study of the SSC initially. Because, you know, sometimes people say that researchers work in vitro, which is not true, especially when it comes to social science researchers, because what we do, our work, is not carried out from what is happening in real life. So when we first developed our first research projects on the SSC, the social reality was that of Europe facing multiple crises. The mounting economic crisis, the humanitarian migration crisis, and the political crisis of rising mainstream support for the politics of fear, extreme right populism and xenophobia. And while the economic crisis exacerbated national stereotyping in Europe and the divide between European North and European South, the migration crisis exposed the unwillingness of the European countries to act together in a field where they have been very eager to protect their own national powers. But I think that far from experiencing a crisis of political will and policy efficiency, Europe, in essence, had to grapple with a crisis of solidarity. And this solidarity gap was evident in many different ways. In the rise of inequalities within countries, especially in countries with fiscal adjustment programs such as Greece, where the burden of adjustment on weaker population groups was much heavier than that of the stronger ones. The solidarity gap was evident also in the various budget cuts and social spending, which severely undermined the capacity of public policy to support vulnerable groups. And the solidarity gap became evident, as I said, in the rise of xenophobia. In several countries, citizens started to blame non-citizens for stealing jobs, and citizens and non-citizens started to compete for a limited number of jobs and scarce social services. Now, within such a context, we as researchers wondered what the role of the SSC could actually be. How could the SSC bridge all these solidarity gaps? So in 2016, last year, we initiated a field work in 9 European countries in Northern, Central, and Southern Europe. And we conducted 200 interviews with people working in the SSC field. And we also conducted mapping of 500 SSC organizations in each European country. And there are 3 key messages coming out of this research, which I just want you to take away. The first message is that the economic crisis functioned as a triggering factor for the proliferation of the SSC. It led to the creation of new SSC organizations in Europe, and especially in Southern Europe, Greece and Italy. And through our mapping exercise, we found that the founding ratio of the SSC organizations peaked from 2008, when the crisis started, to 2013 by 5% every year. And migrants or refugees, along with the unemployed people and the working poor, have been one of the big beneficiary groups of these new SSC organizations. In all the 9 countries studied, but especially in Sweden, migrants or refugees constitute 32% of the total number of beneficiaries, and in Greece, 28%. A second key message coming out of our research is that through this process, the SSC organizations have been turned into a significant buffer. You said also the same thing. a significant buffer against the adverse effects of the economic crisis and the migration crisis. SSE organizations have been able to fill public policy gaps in the provision of services and to respond to urgent needs of migrants, as Ibrahim said, and refugees. Needs such as shelter, clothing, food, medical and legal services. And in this way, SSE organizations have been able to help migrants or refugees fight precarity and build resilience, as you said. But quite importantly, SSE organizations have been able to instill a culture of mutual respect for vulnerable groups, especially migrants or refugees, within local societies. And all this against the general political climate of populism and xenophobia. And the third key message coming out of the research, and this is what the majority of the interviewees told us in all the nine countries, they told us is that if this potential of the SSE to help migrants or refugees build resilience and bridge solidarity gaps, if this potential is to be sustained over the long term, then an enabling policy environment is required. Government authorities should put in place laws, policies, financing instruments that will help SSE organizations flourish. But in doing so, issues of trust should be tackled, because what the majority of the interviewees told us, especially Southern Europe and Greece and Italy, they told us that government authorities are usually distrusted by the SSE actors. And this, of course, affects their level and degree of collaboration and engagement. So, very briefly, these are the main messages coming out of our first research project on the SSE. And drawing on these findings, as Ibrahim said, we are now about to launch a new project, which will start in January. This new project will be implemented jointly with UNRIST, the University of Crete in Greece, the University of Bergamo, you mentioned Bergamo. And with this new project, we will be looking more closely at the conditions and mechanisms that enable the SSE to mediate the tension and struggle between two target groups, native-born unemployed and incoming migrants or refugees, because these two groups now struggle over, they compete for jobs and social services within local communities. And we will also be examining the city dynamics. And for this reason, we'll study three cities as our case studies: Geneva, Heraklion in Crete, in Greece, and Bergamo. And we invite you to follow our activities, and we would be happy to hear from you if you have suggestions that could help us enrich our project. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.